A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us again this week for A Problem Shared. Tony, good morning to you. Good to talk to you.
And a very good morning to you, Jerry.
We're going to start with a couple of queries, and anyone's got any questions for Tony, get him into us now on our numbers, 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp us on that number. You can call 066 712 3666, or even email them in if they're more detailed to kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie. One query I want to get to, Tony, is some friends were discussing an elderly man who was leaving the hospital after a stay there. They were saying they had such sympathy for him because he lived alone in a remote area, and he was literally crying while saying goodbye to people in the hospital. He'd been so happy with the company he had there. It got me thinking, how many more lonely people are out there, and what should we be doing about it?
Yeah. Well, recently, in urban areas at least, the facilities for people who are alone or in need of company or whatever have increased somewhat. There's more people aware. There's a couple of there's men sheds and there's various other things set up. But for people like that who are living in sort of remote areas, maybe miles, and maybe they don't have even transport, that's a problem. We all, as we grow older, our focus narrows. And, you know, sometimes like people like that wouldn't have more than a radio or maybe a TV if they were lucky, and they don't have computers that they can communicate with people. But what I was only thing I could see happening in situations like that is that neighbors who would be reasonably close to somebody like that to call in every once in a while. You don't have to sort of become a slave to it, but just literally call in with a packet of biscuits in your hands and say, just, you know, shopping and thought you might like a few of these and, you know, whatever. Just make contact. As I said, the urban areas are reasonably well fitted out, as it were. But a lot of people don't take advantage of them because not everybody will fit into a man shed or that sort of a situation. And not everybody is good socially, and they tend to be isolated if they're not, you know, into art, music, or something else like that. But it's very important for the brain to be occupied. If we're not focused on something that we can do, in other words, some practical sort of output of our energy, it tends to allow the negative stuff, the sort of depressive thoughts, to build up, and that's the problem. And if somebody is a small farmer living a mile from the nearest neighbor or whatever, that can be a huge problem. So what I would hope is that some neighbors in the region might be aware of somebody like that. And as I say, just literally once a week or once a fortnight, whatever, just call in and make some excuse to say, just say, drop them by and how are you? And if they sort of brush you off, don't be offended. But
yeah,
a lot of people like that really need to be just kept an eye on.
Yeah, and that is part of it. It's just, if you have someone in your area or someone on your road, if you want to get involved and just, you know, gently, I suppose, find ways to meet them or call in and like to help alleviate what they may be going through. Now, plenty of people are happy living alone as well, Tony, it's fair to say, but a lot of people like company as well.
Yes, I think everybody needs some degree of interaction with other human beings.
Social interaction, yeah.
Absolutely. And whether they're, you know, very sociable or otherwise doesn't really come into it. Some people give the impression that they're dead happy living on their own. But, you know, if you're living literally isolated for 6 months and you don't speak to another human being, it affects you mentally.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it. Okay, if you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. Or any queries for Tony, then we want to hear from you on the show. Another listener got in touch in relation to what we were talking about previously, Tony, about gossiping. and the impact it can have and the harm it can do. This listener said, that set me thinking about lying or simply not telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. How common and an everyday thing lying has become in our time. Many of the adverts on TV or online certainly are not focused on telling the absolute truth. Our courts rely on barristers who, for want of a better word, sometimes play with the truth. It'd be interesting to hear you discuss this issue. What do you think, Tony? Is lying, has it become commonplace for lots of people in our society?
And I think that, well, to my perception anyway, it has increased. Now, I'm not talking about serious lies. We're talking about sort of, there's social lies and then there's the big lies, you know. But the social sort of lies, the ones that, you know, we say things to make somebody feel good. Oh, you look great, or that's a fabulous, you know, and you don't mean it. But the problem with lying like that is that any form of lies tend to build our ability to lie more. So if you're using, you know, these social little lies over and over again, and it's on average.
Are you saying you're building the habit then, Tony? You're building a habit of lying from that?
Absolutely. I mean, it happens, all of it. It happens every single human being that opens their mouth and tells a little fib. It may be a well-meaning fib when somebody, you just, you know, you're looking great, and they're not, and you're telling a lie. But you can, you know, any time you tell a lie, as I said, weakens some string in the brain that allows you to tell more lies. And that's a known fact. That's well tested in psychology. And if you use a half a dozen or a dozen social lies like that during the day, the chances are, over the weeks, months, or whatever, years, you will begin to be more able to lie. And that's the problem. You know, there's different forms of lying. There's self-preservation. There's, you know, trying to help people is the most common one, where people, you know, say, "Oh, you're looking great," and the person is not looking great. But if, as I say, you make a habit of telling little lies, it builds up, and it eventually, well, you will become a liar, like it or not. And, yeah. You know, the problem is that it has grown, in my perception now. I mean, okay, I grew up in Cork, and it was a gossipy society, and people would gossip, and did you see poor old Maggie, and that sort of stuff. But the problem is, you know, if it builds up, you get to be able to tell more and more and more lies.
And tell them easier as well. Okay.
And tell them easier, yeah.
And so you have to be careful with it, is the point. Tony, a listener gets in touch, says, "Good morning. I'm a 67-year-old female, recently retired. I've loads of things I could be doing, but I'm lacking the motivation to do any of them. I've done nothing so far today. Just lying in my bed, listening to the radio. I feel I should have a bit more get up and go." What do we think?
Yeah, that sort of comes in under that heading as well. If you're doing something all the time, it tends to make it easier to do it the next time. And if you're tending to give in, you know, I mean, I'm 80 years of age, and I have to force myself up to do certain things, go for a walk, you know, do a bit of gardening or whatever. Keep the brain and the body active. And, I mean, there are plenty of examples of both ends of that, of where people literally allow themselves to close down. And the worst one actually isn't the physical. It's the lack of mental stimulation is more dangerous than the lack of physical stimulation. But the people who really push themselves, David Attenborough is a typical example. He's now over 100 years old and still going. He's made some recent documentary at 100 years of age. And God bless him, he pushes himself and it does him good. I mean,
would it be an idea for this person, like, to have, look, recently retired, you'd ask the question, what has been, did you have a retirement plan, or had you planned out where you want to be in 5 years' time, how you want to adjust your life? And it's a big, massive change. So it's not surprising sometimes a lack of motivation can come into it, Tony. But would it be an idea to start to, maybe you mentioned getting up and going for a walk, that you work in a morning routine to get you out of bed, perhaps?
Absolutely.
Maybe involving some form of exercise as a start to your day.
Have a time to get up and get up at that time, and then get out of the house for, you know, go to the shops, call on a neighbour, do whatever, but just get out for 10 minutes even. And then I think more important than that again is something that stimulates the brain. And, you know, the usual ones are art, music, dancing, gardening, physical stuff, making things, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anything that pulls you and gets you doing something.
And a lot of people, Tony, find a routine of working for some part of the week, like you mentioned before, even volunteering somewhere, you have to be as part of what you've committed to, that will get you motivated, that could be worked in just a day a week, maybe 2 days a week, something along, as a way of possibly giving a structure to your week as well.
Absolutely. And if you're able for it and you can get there or whatever, there is umpteen charity shops that are only dying to get somebody in for a couple of hours a week. And, you know, if you could do a half a day once a week, that sort of thing, that's very good. And you meet more people, you socialize, you have to socialize, you have to meet people. And that sort of stuff is great. But if you're a bit disabled yourself, then, you know, there are umpteen organizations, there are umpteen, you know, clubs for different things, and there are social clubs, there are things that, you know, you can get into art, music and all sorts of things. But get involved is my, you know, it's the only way to grow old, because if you isolate, you'll be like the man we were talking about earlier, you know, absolutely, you know, devastated then when you think, oh, I've been cut off for years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And Jim asks, does listening and interacting with the radio count as social interaction? Well, look, the radio's great company, Jim, so that is a fair point, but you need to meet people too and work that into your routine as well. Brilliant. Tony, great stuff as always. Thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning.
Take
Tony,
care,
back.
Lovely talking.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
That's Tony McGinley there with a problem shared.